I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Zach Meisel, friend of the show from The Athletic. It's nice enough to join us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. How are you, Zach? What's going on, man?
Zach.
Doing well, gentlemen. How are you?
Fine.
We are good. So
better,
we started
better
the show
than the rotation.
That's true. We are. We started the show today talking about Tyler Glasnow, and I don't know if you had the opportunity to hear what he had to say about, you know, he's done. He's got a UCL tear, and so he's got some issues going on. And he admitted that he used rosin and he was using suntan lotion, too, to, you know, get a better grip on the ball. And he's mad at Major League Baseball for changing the rules in the middle of the game. Where are you on this whole situation? Because I think if you read the headline on that, you're like, man, this guy's blaming Major League Baseball for him cheating but getting to get hurt. But if you listen to what he had to say, I think it's pretty intelligent stuff.
Yeah, I think this has been the issue with MLB for a little while now. And this isn't the only case, but it's like they're making up rules as they go. And it's not just with this. I mean, it's with the rules in the game itself where certain things are enforced or – you know, let's switch to league-wide DH and then let's go back to the way it was, but let's keep the other rules we had implemented. And it's just like a flavor of the day. Whatever Rob Manfred and his cronies are feeling, that's kind of what happens. And with this, I think a lot of people league-wide are peeved because you do this mid-season, and it's not just the fact that, all right, pitchers are going to have to make some adjustments, but they were already having to make adjustments because they had a 60-game season last year. So there have been so many injuries league-wide, and teams are really freaking out trying to determine how they're going to get through. I mean, it's not just the Indians. Everybody has tons of injuries, and teams are not really sure how they're going to get through another 95 games when these pitchers only – they've already eclipsed their workload from 2020. So now you're making this other change, and – everybody was using sunscreen and rosin. Like it's been that way for years, and the league has just completely ignored it and not really cared. Now, when you add the spider tack and the stickier stuff, and you're really making changes in your spin rate, and it's glaringly obvious to everybody, that's different. But the league, they should have known this. They should have a better pulse of what's going on in their game so that they don't have to pull the plug on something mid-season. It's bizarre. I don't know another league that operates this way where, like, you know, are you going to start calling fewer pass interference plays starting in or penalties starting in like week 8 of a season? Like, no, that doesn't happen. So the fact that you couldn't reevaluate and figure this out in the offseason, like, it's not like there were never strikeouts around the league and all of a sudden this year there are tons of strikeouts. Like, it's been trending this way for years. So I think there's a lot of frustration throughout the league that this is happening now and that the advance notice was given, I don't know, 2 weeks ago instead of saying, hey, this is what's going to happen in December and pitchers have a couple months to prepare.
Now that makes perfect sense. But so does this. Well, the rule's on the books. And even though you might have kind of ignored it, it's really had a negative impact on our game, and we've seen that here in the beginning of the season. So we're going to have to start enforcing this. Can you sell that, Zach? Or should they have just said, forget it, we're going to put up with this lack of offense this year and the pitchers being able to do what they want?
Yeah, but I think it's on the league to start enforcing that before it becomes as prevalent as it is now. And also, again, like, it's not like 2021 is the first year where offense is down. We've been trending this way for a decade. And the league tried to institute changes to the baseball, thinking that that would fix the problem. And in 2019, you saw every single team hit 250 home runs, and, you know, your backup utility infielder could hit 25 homers. And that didn't make this game more palatable because you still had a ton of strikeouts and a lack of overall action. And so I understand the league's frustration because we've reached just kind of a bottoming out point where there's a no-hitter every other day and that the action in the game has not picked up. But you should have seen this coming. And you turned a blind eye to pitchers using stuff for years. So the fact that it's happening mid-season and causing everybody to panic and figure things out. And, I mean, there have been whispers that, like, teams are using relievers in certain situations just so they can get a feel of, like, what it's like to throw a ball without sticky stuff. And it's like, that's what you should be doing in spring training. And so I think it's just, like, I understand the league wanting to take action, but you could have taken action in the offseason, let everybody be on the same page.
I don't think there's any turning around, is there? You got a guy, a major player in the game, who throws out his UCL, and he's hurt, and maybe we would see more injuries down the road based on what he's saying about trying to get a better grip on the ball, using muscles that hasn't used in years, that kind of stuff, and then you get more pitchers hurt. Can they walk back from the thought of having to pad down these pitchers, these starters every time, or relievers when they walk off the field? Can they walk it backwards now?
Probably not. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be awfully weird next week to see umpires having to babysit and having to be the – I mean, you guys were talking about it with Eno Saris and just like having this arbitrator who's got to – determine who's guilty and who's not and what looks like it might be a sticky substance and what might just be sweat. Or, I mean, I don't know how human beings are supposed to do this, let alone ones who have tons of other things to worry about during a game. And are you going to slow down the game? And I mean, this is just, it's bizarre. I can't think of another example of a league implementing something in season that is a really significant change and is going to be, I mean, this is going to be the talk of the sport all summer, which is unfortunate. And is just a classic case of what MLB does, where it's never about like the performances on the field or the stars or anything like that. It's always about the delicate future of the game and what's wrong and how we can make things better. And this is just going to dominate everything. So I don't think there's any way to walk this back, but it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. I think you're already seeing pitchers for the last couple of weeks basically just try to test things out and see, all right, here's what this is like. You've seen spin rates down, and we've seen – I mean, I'm not smart enough to know if Glasnow is correct and that's why he got injured and whether this will become more prevalent and we'll see more injuries. I don't know, but – It's going to be interesting to monitor because we've never seen anything like this.
Zach, when you think of Shane Bieber being on the 10-day right now, does your gut tell you, all right, 10 days, he rests his shoulder, he's good to go? Or does it say, all right, he's on the 10-day and this could be the start of something that lasts a lot longer than 10 days?
Probably the latter. He's not going to pick up a baseball for another week and a half. And when you have a shoulder strain, I think you start from scratch. I think you play catch and see how you feel the next day. If you feel okay, then you wait a day and then you play catch from a longer distance. And then if you come back the next day and feel okay, then you exert more effort in a game of catch. And if that goes well, then maybe you throw 20 pitches in a bullpen session. I mean, you're going to have to take this step by step. And no, he might not need a month-long rehab assignment or something like that, but a shoulder strain, you cannot rush that back too fast. So I would guess at least a month. I don't know. I mean, they're still waiting to kind of get some clarity. They probably won't have much clarity until he passes those 2 weeks without throwing and then gets reevaluated. They can see if the swelling has gone down. But it's not going to be 10 days and then back at it. It's going to be, I don't know, at least a few more weeks. And so a few more weeks of cobbling together some makeshift rotation out of what random ingredients you have.
Can I follow that up with random ingredients according to ESPN's depth charts? Aaron Civale, thank God for him. Giancarlos Mejia, Cal Quantrill, who I think we all like. And then what? There's the question. Eli Morgan's up. How do you juggle this? You go in, you know, three inning at a time, guys. You're trying to find a starter down below. What are you going to do, Zach?
So there's a ripple effect to everything because they're going to go. I think you see Civale tonight. You'll get either some combination of Eli Morgan and Sam Henches tomorrow afternoon. And then they're going to go – they're leaning towards Giancarlos Mejia on short rest Friday and maybe Cal Quantrill short rest Saturday. So you're going to see just a lot of like 3, 4, maybe 5 inning starts and then piggybacking. Maybe you have two guys throw 3 innings. And they're going to limit when they can what Mejia and Quantrill do so that they can bring them back on short rest if they need to. It's a mess. And the problem, the ripple effect is that then you get a game like last night where it's a 5-run margin and you're pitching Karinchak and Class A because you don't have very many other options. So they had used everybody in relief of Quantrill and in relief of Mejia the day before and in relief of Bieber the day before that. And the day before that, Tristan McKenzie only got 2 outs. So they had to cover 9 1/3 innings. So this is, it's a mess, and you might be able to get by with the rotation just because you're not asking Mejia and Quantrill and Morgan to throw 6 or 7 innings. But then that puts such a strain on your bullpen, and you only have 1 off day until the All-Star break. So this is going to be tough, and I know it's cliche to say that they're going to take it one day at a time, but that has never been more true than right now because they couldn't say who was starting on Thursday. Yesterday, because they didn't know they might need that person in relief. So this is just how they're going to have to operate, and you're going to see roster moves, and you're going to see guys being pulled maybe before you expected, guys being pushed to pitch a third consecutive day. It really is all hands on deck, and it could get a little bit ugly, but I guess it helps that they're playing the Orioles and the Pirates, the Tigers and the Twins coming up.
Oh, boy, Zach Meisel joining us, talking about the Indians and what's going on. You know, I think that the one, you know, I keep looking for some kind of good news out of this whole thing. And I think when we watched Cal Quantrill pitch last night, I kept thinking to myself, well, he and Mejia have this, like, unbelievable opportunity right now. And even if they're only going to pitch him 3 or 4 innings, you know what? Go out there and throw your best stuff, and you're going to force them to leave you in there a little bit longer. And when the dust settles on this thing, you can solidify yourself as the 4 or 5 starter. So I'm trying to find the silver lining in what looks like a really, really bad storyline.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an opportunity for some of these young guys to prove they belong and in one role or another that they should be part of this pitching staff for the foreseeable future. I think Quantrill's the perfect example because they weren't really sure what role to put him in, and now they're forced to put him in the rotation, and he's got a chance to prove that he can be the next guy in line of Bieber and Plesac and Civale and everybody else who's come up through the system. So it's an opportunity. I think, you know, the one guy who really could have made this slightly more tolerable is Tristan McKenzie. You know, if he pitched well over the weekend, then he's your number 2 guy behind Civale. And you're, at least on that day, you're confident you can get something decent because he had pitched well for a few weeks there. But I think they're pretty convinced he needs to spend some time at AAA. So now you're scrambling, and yeah, the issue. I mean, there are a lot of issues here. The one big one is you didn't have a minor league season last year. So a guy like Sam Henches, it basically went from AA in 2019, where he had a really rough year, to the majors, and it's really tough to figure things out in the majors. And like a guy like JC Mejia, who is barely pitched above A ball, and now he's in the majors. So it forces you to grow up in a hurry, and if any of these guys can take it and run with it, then that definitely shows a lot. But you know, it's not the easiest of conditions. I mean, Mejia goes from basically a ball in 2019 to in 2021, hey, you're in the big league rotation and pitching on short rest. I mean, good luck,
true.
Kid.
Yeah.
Hey, really. Let me throw this one at you, too. Any interest, and I know this is a hot topic on our station, so I'm interested to hear what you have to say. Do the words Bartolo Colon, even for a couple of weeks, do anything for you?
Oh, my goodness.
For ticket sales, I think the people in the ticket office love it.
I do, too.
I don't. He's 48 years old. I don't know. He wasn't good in his last 2 years in the majors, I think. And it's been 3 years since he pitched in the majors. I mean, it's a fun idea. Like, if he, I don't know. He's like this weird cult hero. It's hard to describe why people love him so much, but I think there's a just as good of a chance as any of the three of us suiting up as Bartolo Colon.
I think the intriguing thing is him throwing a complete game 2 days ago in Mexico. I know it's different baseball, but the fact that he's 48 years old and can throw a complete game is intriguing, especially the way you look at the rotation now. And if you – like, we were talking about Tristan McKenzie yesterday. Like, let him go figure it out. Do not get him on the bus back and forth between Columbus and Cleveland. I mean, you sent him down there for a reason the first time, and because of injury, you had to bring him back up. And I get it, and I understand that. But in there are some ways I'm just like, look, this kid's got so much potential. You've got to think about the long run. Maybe you just leave him down there for a while. So if you bring Bartolo – I mean, what's the worst that could happen if they brought Bartolo Colon up here for – or tried to get him for a week or two or 3 weeks? We're so desperate for starting pitching. We're so desperate to try to get someone to fill the first 4 or 5 innings that why not take a flyer? Play him a league minimum. Let's see what he's got.
Well, I mean, hey, the lineup has been struggling for most of the year, too, and why not sign Julio Franco? He's still hitting somewhere, I'm sure, right?
I think so. Wait.
Manny's available?
Yeah.
Hang on, I gotta see. Julio is, what, 64 years old, but his birth certificate says he's 12. So we're good to go. Bring him up.
I mean, you make valid points. I don't disagree with anything you said. If he doesn't throw a complete game the other night and he only throws 6 innings, is anybody clamoring for him?
No, you're 100% right. 100% right. But what about McKenzie? What do you think there? I mean, don't you think that they need to just let him get it figured out? This kid's got great potential.
I totally agree. I mean, I think the yo-yoing didn't really help. I know they were desperate, but he proved that he needs time to get over this mental hurdle in the minor leagues because it's not working in the majors. And it's not the stuff. It's not physical. It's between the ears. And it's just a matter of whatever that obstacle is that kind of makes him hesitate when he gets in a dicey situation and he's terrified to throw a strike. Yeah, he's got to get past that somehow, and I don't think you can do that against big league pitchers or hitters.
All right, I have 5 seconds. I'm going to say 2 names to you. Tell me if the Indians try to grab him. Rick Porcello. Yes or no?
Before Bartolo, sure.
Mike Leake.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, same thing.
Okay.
Anyone of that ilk, like, sure, take a look. As long as they're less than 48 years old.
Fair enough. Hey, great job. Appreciate talking to you, Zach. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Thank you, Zach.
All right, Zach Meisel, Athletic, nice enough to join us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.